Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.
FOP, friend of the program, Chris Martin, Brewer Public Safety. Welcome back into Spacious Studio 7A.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Glad to be here.
Before we talk about recruitment and retention and the challenge, we need to know about the event coming up on Thursday.
So listen, we got just a couple days before our big event, the fundraiser for the Robbins Lumber Mill. The victims, people impacted. Yep. So that's Thursday night. This Thursday night, Brewer Auditorium, Doyle Field. Event starts at 6. We're going to muster up our volunteers at 3, get everything set up.
I'll give you $20 right now to the cause if you get closer to that microphone.
And here we go.
Even close. Bring it right to you.
How's that?
Now better? Now talk to me.
Okay, how's that?
Oh, now you sound like Barry White. See? You hear the difference?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
You want to come to the event. Brewer Auditorium, right? Right on, baby. Mm, yeah.
So we're going to have all these great things there. We're going to, the food is going to be there. Hamburgers, hot dogs, french fries, cold drinks. We're going to have touch a truck with fire, police, EMS. We're going to have kids games. There's going to be face painting. And, you know, one of the coolest things, a bounce house. There's going to be a bounce house there.
You had us a bounce house, to be honest.
Right. And one of the coolest things is we're going to have a station there where we're going to collect cards and notes that people want to write to those impacted by this event.
What a fantastic idea.
And imagine how uplifting that would be if to receive something from a stranger you've never met, a note of encouragement or a drawing from a child. I already have about 150 of these such things that came from the Brewer schools.
Wow.
So that's our feeder into this. And then we're going to have a table specifically designated for that night.
Have you been following the recovery of Catherine Page?
Yes.
On Facebook?
Yes.
I've been swapping messages with her husband. Invited him on to talk. He said, I just can't do it. I can't get through it. Okay. And we've been swapping messages. The call went out yesterday. Stop sending flowers because the flowers are kind of giving people allergies or could be bacteria or something.
Right.
But someone sent her a hat. It just brightened her day to no end. Cards. What a great, whose idea? Was this your idea? I don't care if it wasn't. Just take it.
No, I'm going to credit it to the group. It was a collective idea. But, you know, it's just going to be fantastic. And the biggest thing is let's get out there. All are welcome. Come far and wide. And let's show support. Neighbors helping heroes. Let's support those impacted by this tragic event. And take a moment to truly recognize and appreciate all first responders, because it could be them responding to the danger to protect us. And this is a chance to bring our communities together, experience something wonderful, and then we close out with a movie. The movie begins at 7:30.
And that's what people have sent us notes. They want to know, did you settle on a movie?
We did.
What is it?
How to Train Your Dragon. Which is the newest one, not the cartoon one.
The live action one?
The live action.
Oh, okay.
So... it's going to be great. It's going to be a great night. It looks like we're going to have, the weather's going to be decent. And just come on out, folks. Come on out. Let's get together as a community.
What time should we get to Brewer Auditorium? What time?
I would say get there probably about 5:30, 5:45.
Come early, stay late, be supportive.
You got it.
All right.
Love to have them.
I bet while we're there, some people who have questions about what we're going to talk about can probably find you and ask. But we've heard this time and time again. The challenges of recruiting someone to be a first responder and then retaining them, finding them, catching them, keeping them.
Huge.
Why is it so hard?
It's a hard job, number one. Number two, as we've seen wages start to inflate across the nation, usually the government jobs are the last. They're at the rear end of the trailer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you end up having higher paying jobs in the private sector, and the government jobs, they lag behind, but they do catch up. Law enforcement has had this probably since Ferguson and all those things. That's when we really felt the pinch. And what we saw, because of necessity and because of vacancies that couldn't be filled, you run short. people get ground down, they leave.
Mm-hmm.
The wages came up significantly, and the fire service is now experiencing that same trend. And so to keep them there, you got to have something competitive, and it's like the wild, wild west right now. You have area agencies paying Southern Maine wages, and there's a distinct difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And sooner or later, people are going, "Ooh, for another $5 an hour, I can do the same job two towns over." So you have that dynamic. The other thing is you have the stressors of the job, what you're exposed to, what you see. So at the end of the day, you have to have pay and benefits that's competitive,
mm-hmm.
but it's about the culture. It's about the culture that you build that make people want to be a part of it. And that's what we really try to work on at Brewer and Police and Fire.
Well, sell me on the culture. What is it that you work to do in order to make it an environment where on Sunday night, say you're working on, for some reason, if you're working on Monday through Friday, that on a Sunday night, you're excited about going to work in the morning?
It's your relationships. It's the trust that you build. And that is an organization we always invest in the people. People first, community always. Mm-hmm. So people, if we invest in our workers, then they're our front line of services out in the community. So it's investing in them and supporting them to get out there and fulfill the mission. But coming back to the recruitment retention, so the fire service is hard. Now, put this aside and look at the volunteer fire service. Even harder, right? How many young people are signing up to volunteer their time with, like, the Granges and things of yesteryear, and even volunteer fire departments? It's dwindling down. They're mm-hmm. having a hard time finding people for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're having a hard time procuring monies for equipment. So we're struggling across the state in the fire service, not only because of a recruitment retention issue, but we're also struggling with our vast empire of volunteer fire departments. Now we couple that in with ambulance services. There is a crisis with EMS in the state of Maine. Okay, there's a crisis with having adequate ambulance services. And the privatization of the ambulance services, that's now starting to circle the drain. It's not as reliable. You're waiting sometimes a really inordinate amount of time to get an ambulance available mm-hmm. to you. And this is going to be something right over the threshold that people are going to have to embrace that reality and figure it out, so that you have an ambulance for you when you need one.
You touched on something a moment ago, and the incident at Robbins Lumber on the 15th of May reminded us or brought us awareness of how much it costs to have and maintain that gear. And that is an expense on the same budget spreadsheet as compensating people who are going to be in your department. I cannot imagine beginning to try to balance the books these days.
Well, let me just give you a snapshot of this. It's going to cost us about $3,500 to $4,500 in equipment to outfit a new hire. Okay.
How much?
$3,500 to $4,500. That's the gear. That's mm-hmm. the response gear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they leave us, there might not be anybody that fits in that gear.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Right? And it's pretty expensive. The other thing is it depends on their level of training.
Mm-hmm.
If you hire somebody who's untrained, you're going to onboard them, and it's going to take an upwards of a year to get them on a crew and deployable because they have to get their Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2, and EMS certifications. That could be a year, right? In some instances, it takes 6 months if they have half the certifications and don't have the other half. So even though you're onboarding a person, you're still hemorrhaging out overtime money because you have a short crew. And on those short crews, you have the same amount of work coming in spread over less people, right? And if your staffing levels aren't stable, then people are losing their days off and they're starting to lose their work-life balance. So that's kind of the 1,000-foot view of what's going in.
And this is one of those jobs that AI is not going to replace someone that's going to come and save your home when the flames are licking the eaves.
No way. No way. But, you know, so let's get back to Thursday night. As we show our support for our protective services, and keep in mind, dispatchers are very, very important part of protective services, and they share the trauma as well. They have a very tough job. So it's police, fire, EMS, and dispatch. As we get there to support the survivors and those impacted by the Robbins Lumber Mill, we're also supporting our protective services, our first responders, and we're giving a nod to them that you are important to us. You're here for us, and we're here for you, and we're neighbors helping heroes.
Is there... I was going to ask you if there was a town or a city in the state of Maine that figured it out, and I was going to ask you, hey, they're doing it. Can't we just rip a page out of their playbook? My concern is that they're spending more money than other cities and towns can afford to spend.
Yeah.
Is money the only solution to this?
Well, money's a big part. When you can have a fire department, but you got to have things to drive and use.
Yeah.
And when you're talking, basic apparatus is $800,000 to $1 million plus. A ladder truck is going to run you about $2 million. These small towns, they don't have the tax base to do this. Even the larger towns don't. So you're looking for grants. So right now, some of the grant funding has helped the volunteer fire departments, but it's not necessarily available to towns such as Brewer to buy apparatus. So that comes back on your tax base. So it's very, very expensive. Keeping your force... You know, it depends on your culture and how you pay them, but they train. These guys train all the time. They're always out every single day doing some level of familiarization or training. It's readiness. What I see with my folks, they're an excellent group of professionals, love them to death, and I think that's indicative of the fire service across the state.
Is regionalization a factor in the future?
It may be. It may be. If resources are dwindling, It may be a serious consideration. The trouble is when you regionalize, you're giving away control. It becomes a bigger entity, and usually at the top, there's a lot of bureaucracy and crap, right?
Yeah.
So I think the services, the larger you get, the services dwindle on that side of it.
Mm-hmm.
You do save some money. It's going to be at what cost?
We'll deal with that when the time comes.
Yes, sir.
Best to you in the efforts to recruit and retain, but let's get together starting at 5:30 this Thursday evening at Brewer Auditorium. A lot of reasons to come, including the touch of truck and the bounce house for the kids, but this idea of should we bring our own cards?
I have the card stock. We got the pens. We got the markers. I got stickers. I got stamps. I got whatever you need to make something awesome. I'll even pick up some glitter.
Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out how much your home is worth instantly at laughlinwolfingtonrealty.com.